Okay, we are on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We are about 10 to 12 lines from the bottom of the page. And we're going to start the word Mesaveh. Okay, we've been discussing the machlokes between the pairs of great rabbis throughout the generations as to whether one can make smicha on his korbanos on Yontif or not. And there was a rabbi who said, well, based on me seeing this machlokes, Rab Shemin Bar Abba said in the name of Rab Yochanan that we should always treat rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos very strictly and don't treat them so lightly. Why? Because you see that great rabbis debated the issue as to whether you could do smicha and yontif. And the Gemara wanted to understand what was the insight of his statement. And he wanted to say, because he was teaching us that their argument really was based on, is there a problem with smicha or not on yontif, as opposed to just you do smicha in general any day of the week. And he's saying he is defining the machlokes as the rabbis who say you can't do smicha on yontif is because there's a problem with the rabbinic prohibition of using an animal by pressing down an animal. The other rabbis say no. You know, for yontif, you could do it, just like you can shech the animal, we'll let you do the smicha. But anyway, he's saying we see how important smicha is. We also see that it must be that when you do smicha on an animal, because he made that statement, that this smicha of this animal involves a rabbinic prohibition, must be that the nature of how you do the smicha is that you totally press down and lean on the animal, and thereby you're making use of the animal, and that's why there's a rabbinic problem, as opposed to just putting your hands on the animal and not pressing down, because then that would not be a rabbinic violation, because you're not making use of the animal. It's not supporting you. It's only symbolically you're putting your hands on the animal. So there.
Not biblical?
What?
Is it in a straight pasuk?
No, it says you don't work animals on Shabbos. That's your animals rest, but for you to touch them and to move them, that's an issue of muksa. You're not working the animal. Working means he plows in the field. All right? But making use of an animal and saying that it's, you know, that's already a different story. That's a rabbinic problem. Animal plowing is one thing. Riding an animal or leaning on animals is a rabbinic prohibition. So now the Gemara is going to question this last point, that we see that smicha, if we've derived so far from this rabbi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we've derived that smicha requires your full leaning on the animal. Gemara now is going to bring a very lengthy brisa, and in the context of the brisa, the Gemara is going to suggest that this brisa would seem to show us that you do not lean heavily on an animal to do smicha. That's going to be the point of the question. It's going to take a while to get around to it. But that's what the point of the brisa is, to ask a question on that. Mesaveh. So now there's a challenge to that premise based on this. And this last thing that Rami Bar Chama deduced from the statement of Rab Shimon Bar Abba and then Rab Yochanan, that we see from his statement that smicha needs full pressure down. Let's take a look at the following brisa, which has a machlokas, but in the context of the machlokas, you see the question is going to come. In the parsha and the Torah that discusses doing smicha, it says the following: Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, etc., etc. Then it talks about bringing an offering to Hashem. And then it says the word v'samach, and he shall lean his hands on the head of the ola offering. If a Jew brings an ola offering, before you shech the animal as an ola, you do smicha. You press your hands on it. Now it says, daber el b'nei Yisrael. So it's going to be a very interesting drush that you could have questions on. But the first opinion deduces, by the fact it says speak to the B'nai Yisrael, it appears that this halacha is only for B'nai Yisrael somchim, the sons of Israel do smicha, to the exclusion of ein benos Yisrael somchos, but women do not perform smicha on their sacrifices. Now the comment...
Women were allowed to bring the sacrifices as well?
Well, women, certainly they have to bring some sacrifices. First of all, they're allowed to. What if a woman wants to give a voluntary offering? We know for sure when a woman gives birth to a child, she has to bring an offering. The Torah says that straight out, she's obliged to bring an offering. So he's saying that, yes, even if women bring offerings, but they do not do smicha. Now, how this is derived, is the commentaries have a lot of difficulty with it. What suggests to exclude women? Just the fact it says, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, speak to the sons of Israel. B'nai Yisrael is always a general term for the entire Jewish people. There's many mitzvahs that says, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, and it applies, and women are part of that. So that's for the commentaries to deal with. But anyway, this is how the first opinion goes, that women do not, they don't do smicha, and since they don't do smicha, for that matter, they would not be allowed to do smicha, as we will see. That's opinion number one. Rabbi Yossi, the Reb Shimon Oimrim, okay, Rabbi Yossi and Reb Shimon, they disagree, and they say, Benos Yisrael Somchos Rishus. They say women, in regards to smicha, if they wish. In other words, they're not obliged, but if they want to, they may. So the Tanakhama, the first opinion, says women don't do smicha, and therefore can't and should not do smicha. The second opinion says, no, they don't have to do smicha, but if they want to, they can do smicha. That's the machlokas. Now, Rabbi Yossi wants to bring a proof to his position that if they want to do smicha, they can do smicha, from the following verbal communication that he received from somebody else. Amar Rabbi Yossi, who is the second opinion that says if women want to do smicha, they may. He says, Soch li Abba Elazar. One time Abba Elazar, he told over to me the following story in which a ruling was made. And that story will be the support to my opinion. And what was that story? Pamachas, one time, Hoyolonu Egel Shel Ziv Cheshlamim. One time the men had a calf that was a shlamim offering. Okay, we decided to bring a shlamim offering, a peace offering to Hashem, and we were going to go to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a peace offering, and that would require smicha, and the men would have to do smicha on the peace offering. And we brought it, the Hevianu L'Ezras Nashim, we brought it into the women's courtyard of the temple, that's the place where smicha is done, okay? And after we did smicha, V'samchu Alav Nashim, and the women performed smicha on it too. Our wives were permitted to do smicha on the animal. So we'll see why in a minute. But now, let's take a look over here, this footnote. Smicha generally takes place in the Israelite courtyard, meaning the regular courtyard. There's a number of courtyards. You have the Mizbeach, and there's a courtyard there, and then there's another courtyard where the women are. So usually, you do the smicha in the main courtyard where the shechita takes place. Here we see the smicha took place in the women's courtyard. Remember, the women could not go into the other courtyard. They had to stay in the women's courtyard. So this is why smicha was done in this case in the women's courtyard, because they wanted them to do smicha. Women, however, do not enter the Israelite courtyard. Thus, the animal had to be brought to the women's courtyard for the women to perform smicha, etc. So he said, okay, we brought our shlamim. The animal was brought, I guess they knew our wives were here. The animal was brought to the women's courtyard, and they were permitted to do smicha on it. But we're not done yet. Now, and then when they asked the kohanim, why did you let the women do this? What's the halachic premise of that? So they say like this, Lo mipnei shesmicha benoshim, not because there is a smicha requirement for a woman, not that a woman has to do smicha, they don't have to do smicha ever. Ella, but why? Kidei lasos nachas ruach lenoshim. But to give them satisfaction. You know, you have women now who want to get called up to the Torah. They want to put tefillin on. They want to feel just like the guys. Or, you know, at least you want to feel like you're involved a little bit. So that the husband's there, the wife's there, the wife sees the husband doing everything. So why don't give them a little bit of satisfaction, a little pleasure of being involved in a mitzvah a little bit? Not that they needed to do it, but this way they feel good about themselves that they did smicha, which would fit into Rabbi Yossi's opinion that said if women want to do smicha, they can do smicha. That was his opinion. Now look, it says, the sacrifice in question belonged to these women rather than their husbands, putting them in line to perform the smicha. Okay, I guess the husbands brought it for them. Interesting. Look at this. Remember, we know there's a whole other issue here. Isn't this a time-bound mitzvah?
Yes, it is.
Because you only can do smicha on the day, not at night.
That's right.
So when we see they let them do this. So the rabbis say this is a source that although they're not obliged to do time-bound mitzvahs, if they want to do it, they may. And you can even say a brach over that. This is the source for that. Because we let them do it even though they didn't have to do it. So that's the end of the braisa. So what's the point of the braisa? Rabbi Yossi is trying to prove his point. They're saying if women want to, they're not obliged, they're not in the mitzvah. But if they want to, they're permitted. As you see in this story, that we allowed them to do smicha, not because they were obliged to do smicha, but to give them satisfaction. Okay.
So Rabbi, did you say this is the source that women can do time-bound mitzvahs if they want to?
Yes.
So what about if the other opinion holds? That
well, I guess we don't hold like that opinion.
Yeah.
All right, well, it could be, well, maybe they're not obliged for smicha for other reasons, and maybe it wouldn't affect them.
Isn't that set a precedent for other things that they would be allowed to
do? No, only certain things, only in the Ezra's Nashim, and only smicha, which is a rather benign, private type of thing. All right? Again, you have to understand. So if they want to hear shofar, they can hear shofar. The rabbis have told us and given us guidelines which mitzvahs should women do that are time-bound mitzvahs and which ones they should not do. Okay, yeah, if a woman wants to put on tzitzis, technically she could put on tzitzis, right? She's not obliged. But the rabbi said, this is not, putting on tzitzis is not going to do anything for you spiritually. Okay, doing smicha on the animal will. Okay, that's the point. Yeah, you could technically, this is where people make big errors. They technically say, well, I'm allowed to do time-bound mitzvahs. So talis, tzitzis, and tefillin are time-bound mitzvahs. So women say, I'm going to put them on. So you got to understand, why are you putting them on? Because you love Hashem so much? Or because you want to just prove your equality? Right? All those ladies who go to the Kotel, the women at the wall, who bring a Sefer Torah, and lane and do all this by the Kotel, they're not doing it because they want to do the will of Hashem, because they don't do any other mitzvahs Hashem tells them to do. They don't go to the mikvah, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep kosher, a lot of them. They're not. They don't dress sneistic. All right? They don't dress modestly, they don't cover their hair. They don't do a lot of mitzvahs.
They do all these things.
They don't. You look at the women there, they're not. This is like,
they wouldn't be allowed near them. Please.
What are you talking about? In the women's side, yes. Well, I guess you haven't been in the Kotel recently.
I didn't think they were allowed. Anyway, okay.
I'm just saying, you know, they do these things. They're doing. They're not. So now, why? The question is, why are you doing it? That's the difference. See, if you're doing because you have a genuine love for Hashem and this is your connection to Hashem, well, first of all, we're going to know that by what about all the mitzvahs you're obliged to do? Are you doing them?
So they do all these mitzvahs.
Okay, but you'd find that these women are not in that category. They're not. Yeah, you know, we don't know if that's true or not. And you know what? How many people are like Rashi's daughters?
That's what I'm saying. If they did all that,
everybody takes the one exception to the rule and they want to make it to the rule.
No, I'm making it support what you're saying, for a change. I'm assuming they did all these other mitzvahs, and then they
worked on Rashi's manuscripts, so they must have been incredibly intelligent.
That's what I'm saying. They were.
Right? But we're talking about, you know, you don't find one Haredi woman who wants to put tefillin on. Not one. And they do all their mitzvahs, because they understand, this is not where my spiritual development is meant to be happening. All right? And so that's the point. So if you mamish, you love Hashem, you're doing all these things, you know, but it's not. So anyway, here's the point is, so okay, certain things the rabbi said, yes, They want to hear shofar. Shofar inspires tshuva. They're not obliged. But if they want to hear shofar, okay, they could hear shofar and even make a bracha on it, because you want to shake a lulav. You want to sit in the sukkah. You know, the nature of those mitzvahs is one thing, but putting on tefillin is a different one. Okay, and that's the point. They don't have to wear a kippah, but they have to cover their hair. But that's not a kippah. Kippah is not covering your hair. It's on top of your hair. Nobody here in this room is covering their hair right now. You have something on your head. You're not covering your hair because I'm seeing all your hair. I'm just saying. But that, so in this case, the rabbi said, okay, it's their korban. We'll take it to the women's section, and they can put their hands on the animal.
It says up there, but I thought the husband owned.
Well, there's things they can own. They don't own everything.
So we would give her the calf?
No, they don't own everything. It could have been their thing that they didn't give to the husband. They can have nechsei tzon barzel. Whatever. Or she had her own money and she bought her own thing. A woman's not a slave. She's entitled to own things. Woman can own her own things in the context of marriage. Okay, anyway, now that's the story. So what's the proof now? Or what's the question? Now remember, this was just a brisa. The brisa brought the story with the ladies to say that if they want, they can do smicha. As we see, they can do smicha. So what does that have to do with the issue of asking a question? The rabbi saying, well, we saw from before that if you want to do smicha, you have to press down hard. Yeah. This is supposed to be a question on that. So how is it? The Gemara is going to continue. And if you are going to hold that smicha is done with your full force down on the animal, so now, you know, doing you putting it, that's a real avoda. That's an avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. There's so many steps of the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. And this, and if it's a firm press down, so we're saying now they're not obliged, right? They said they're not obliged, but we want to make them happy. So he says, Mishum Nachas Ruach Denashim, just to make women feel good about themselves. Avdinan Avodas Bekotchim, will we allow them to give them work on consecrated items in the Beis Hamikdash? Let's take a look at an important footnote. It's forbidden. In other words, let's say you made an animal holy. Okay, are you allowed to now take the animal before you take the base? Before you take the Beis Hamikdash, I designate this cow to go to Beis Hamikdash. Can you now plow with it?
No.
Once it's Hegdish, you can't do any of your own personal deeds. Okay, that's what it says. It's forbidden to work with a consecrated animal. Now, one who leans down on an animal with all his strength supports his weight on it, and it therefore is considered to have worked with it. Right? Just like we talked about the rabbinic prohibition, you're working the animal. Now, wait a minute. So how else can I do smicha on that? Smicha is one of the steps of the avoda, the Beis Hamikdash. Well, obviously, where the Torah requires smicha, this is not a concern. When the Torah says, "You, Mister, you brought a korban. You, Mister, you must do smicha." Well, smicha is part of the things that are required to be done. We say, "Well, you're not doing your own work." Since women are not required to perform smicha, so that smicha is not really part of the avoda of this animal being brought as a korban because they're not obliged. However, they're leaning on the animal just to make them happy, and it's not part of the avoda, that would be considered working the animal.
Sure.
So you can't do that. So that's the point. The rabbi before said, he says, smicha requires full leaning on the animal. Well, smicha requires full leaning on the animal. How did they allow in this story that the women who were not obliged, not chayiv to do smicha, if you're chayiv to do smicha, then you do smicha. You don't worry about doing any private work. But if they're not obliged, you just want to make them happy, well, that's not the avoda of the korban, and then it becomes their own private work, as it were. So how are you allowed to do it? Must be, if they allowed it, and you're not allowed to work an animal privately, we must learn like this the opposite. That lo ba'inan kol kocha, you don't do it with your full strength. Smicha does not require full strength, and therefore that's not considered a private work. because you're not leaning your full strength on it, so must be the opposite of what you say. Question?
Yeah, because we talked on Monday. I think it was Monday morning. We said that it's part of, if we're saying it, if it's safe to provide your full strength, it's part of doing the whole korban.
That's only if you're obliged.
If you're obliged. So we were talking Monday about men doing it, and we're saying that, oh, if you can't lean because it's Yom Tov, and you're using the animal. Now we're saying if you're a man.
No, that's a different issue. That's a Shabbos issue.
No, but you're not working the animal.
One's a Shabbos issue, and one's using a kutchim animal for your private use.
Well, I get that. But we're saying, we just said, you're not, if you don't lean fully, you're not working the animal. So therefore, you're not working the animal on Shabbos.
So that's why he's saying it must be, if it was a problem, that was his whole proof, that smicha requires full leaning, and that's why it was a problem. That's the whole point he's saying.
Well, we haven't resolved.
He's just asking a question on his position. If he would be refuted, we'd have to go back and explain the machlokes of the rabbis differently.
So we're saying it still requires full leaning.
We're not, right now we're asking a question. Yeah. You're saying, well, if the question's true, then how do you explain everything before? We'd have to re-explain it. We'd have to give a different explanation for the machlokes.
Yeah, right.
Right?
So the question's not true.
Well, let's continue. That was this rabbi's way of explaining the machlokes. He explained it was, well, are we allowed to do a forbidden smicha or not on Shabbat? That's why he learned the machlokas. Remember, others could have learned the machlokas yesterday. Is there a requirement of smicha at all? Is there a requirement of smicha at all? Would be a whole different way to learn the machlokas. Yeah. And that would fit in with this question. If you're saying smicha is not done with the full force, then what was the machlokas doing smicha on Yom Tov? The answer is, well, is smicha required on your own private animal on Yom Tov or not? Bechlal, it's on Hilchos Shabbos. That would be the way to explain the machlokas. So right now it seems that's a good question, and it appears you don't do it your full force. So he's going to answer that. He said, no. La'olei malach be'ina mekol kolcho. Really, you need your full force. Okay? Yes. So if that's the case, how do we allow women to do it? The answer is, to Amr Laho, and they told them, Akfu Yadaycha, just rest your hands lightly on the animals. In other words, the women did not do the full smicha. They didn't do the full smicha. Okay? So now, right, that is, the women did not perform true smicha by pressing down with their strength an animal's head, rather by performing a token smicha by putting their hands gently on its head. This does not constitute working with the animal because the animal does not support the person's weight. So they didn't do such a full smicha. But wait a minute. If that's the case, then how is that proving your point that women can do smicha in other times? And they said not because, what Wilgamar said, why do we do it? We said it not because smicha is with women, but to give them pleasure. If you're going to give me that answer, then why does it say, lo mipnei shesmicha benoshim? Why did the rabbi say not because there's a smicha requirement for women, but merely to give them satisfaction? Why did they say that? You didn't have to say that. Just say they weren't really doing smicha to begin with at all. Typically, just say they ain't a smicha cloud. Just say that it's not true smicha at all. So what kind of answer is that? In other words, the point of Rabbi Lazar's comment, when Rabbi Lazar said that the fact that they didn't need smicha, not because smichas with women, but to give them nachas ruach. He says, the point of Rabbi Lazar's comment was to dispel the impression created by the incident that there is an obligation for women to perform smicha. He didn't want people to make a mistake. You know, really, women have to do smicha. Don't think that women really have to do smicha. We just did it to give them pleasure. True, the women in that case were given the opportunity to perform smicha, but not because there was any obligation for them to do so, but simply to afford them the satisfaction of doing so. But if in fact women did not perform a true smicha, but if you didn't do a true smicha, why do people get the wrong impression anyway? Abel Ezer could have made his point more strongly by saying that the smicha that is was not really smicha at all. In other words, he said, well, we let them do smicha, but don't make a mistake and think they could do real smicha. We just did it to please them. Why say that? Just said, you know, don't think they could do smicha because they really didn't do smicha. They just did it lightly. Yeah. That's what he should have said. That's what he should have said. But he didn't say that. So what kind of answer is that it was a light smicha? So he says, you know what? The truth is, we have to read in between the lines of the story. Really, there it's both true. Amar Rab, Rabami, Rabami said, what Rabbi Elazar said was, Chada, he said one thing, one reason, Va'od Kam, and he gave another reason. He gave two reasons why you don't do, why we did it with the women. Chada, one of them, the lesser Smicha Klal, that really, that we see that it's not true Smicha at all. Number one, it was only resting their hands on it. So that's in between the lines. And number two, even if we would have allowed them to do full smicha, also, it was done, even what was done to give them satisfaction and not because there wasn't any obligation. So we gave them two reasons. Really, it wasn't the smicha at all. And on top of that, so they'll feel good about themselves. Gemara thus concludes that smicha must indeed be performed with one's strength. This question's been knocked off. The Gemara also seems to conclude that women who are not obliged to perform smicha are forbidden to perform true smicha because doing so would amount to working with consecrated animals for one who is exempt for this mitzvah. Okay. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, who permit women to perform smicha if they wish, permit them only to perform a token smicha by placing their hands gently on the head of the offering. The rabbis who dispute them prohibit even this, because it gives the impression of working with consecrated animals. Alternatively, the rabbis prohibit them from performing smicha because they understand the verse exclusion of women from smicha to mean that women should not perform smicha. Okay.
That's right.
So that's how we end it off. So
we'll make them happy or let them pretend they're doing smicha.
That's right. In other words, they're permitted to do smicha, but it's not a real...
The woman even knows it's a fake smicha.
But it's symbolic. It's symbolic. Well, a lot of people like to do symbolic things. It makes them feel good. A lot of things. You want to feel part of what's going on. It's okay. You feel part of what's going on and just put it on gently. You know, you're still doing smicha and with all the machshavos that are involved in smicha. So therefore, that would be the issue that he's saying.
So a single woman, almana, would need to bring an offering. She'd give it to a kohen to do it for her?
Yeah, but it's still her offering, and she does not have to do smicha. And if she wants to, she could gently rest her hands on
someone
it.
Someone would do it for her.
Somebody has to do smicha. Kohen, she could have a shliach.
Yeah.
Okay, now that, well, let's just conclude. We're almost up to the mission. It's just very little left to go. I hope we can do this. So now, okay, so what have we said? Smicha is, so you cannot do full smicha if you're not allowed to. Or is it, some opinions say you can't do it on Yontif. But what are we saying? Clearly, there is an issue that putting full smicha, if it's only a Shabbos issue and not a Korban issue, you're not allowed to just rest your hands fully on an animal. So from this point, we see something else. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, the fact that you're not allowed to put your hands firmly leaning on the head of an animal will teach us another halacha. Shmamin over here from this, study Masurim. Even the sides of an animal, you're forbidden to use on an animal. What if you want to lean against an animal to support you? Lie back on an animal. Let's say I'm standing and I'm leaning on the side of the animal. So we see that even leaning on the side is not allowed. Why? Because the E, Sagra Semen, because if you think the side is allowed, side is not exactly the main working part of the animal, then Lismoch litzdadim. So let me perform for smicha it should say arosha. Then you should be able to do smicha on its head because it's no different on the side because that's not real work. In other words, you might think there's real use of the animal, but you know, resting your hand on the head isn't the main part of the animal. The point we're saying is maybe you can't benefit the main part of the animal. You know, so what's not the main part? The head's not the main part. It's not the real workforce of the animal. The sides isn't. So if you can't put your hands on the head, you can't, you know, lean against the sides either. Because if you do the sides, you could use the head. The prohibition against using an animal on the Sabbath in Yontif was instituted to bar riding on animals in those days. In other words, they didn't want people riding on animals. So therefore, they didn't want you to make any use of the animal. Therefore, through the prohibition, though the prohibition was extended to other forms of use as well, someone might maintain that it extends only to those parts of the animal's body that are customarily used. Mainly its back. Its back. What's the main part of a horse?
Back.
A back. That's what an animal is. So some say only the back is the main problem. You know, other rabbis say, no, we're going to extend it a little more, the prohibition, to stay away from it. So by this lot, so in other words, It's a machlokes, you know, how far this prohibition goes. We don't want you riding animals on Shabbos. So now how far do we take this? Some say, well, you can't ride on the animal. We don't want you to make any use of the animal. Others say, no, just any use on the back of the animal. Others say, no, even other parts. Now, when I put smicha, if I only hold the problem is the back of the animal, why can't I lean on the head of the animal? The fact that we're saying it's a problem to lean your head on the animal means that these rabbis are holding that you can't lean on any part of the animal, even not the main part of the animal. Right? That's the point by this.
Why would they ride an animal, fear riding an animal when it's already consecrated?
No, forget about a consecrated animal, even regular on Shabbos. Forget about a consecrated animal. The rabbi said you can't ride animal on Shabbos. So we could say maybe only means you don't use the back of the animal. The fact that the rabbi said smicha now becomes a problem on Shabbos. Why? Because that's also making use of the animal, but it's not on the back. We see these rabbis say not only the back, any use of the animal is not allowed. Elalav shma mino. We hear from this study masurim. The side is usur as well to make any use of it. Just one more line. That's what we want it to say. That's what the suggestion is. Ravashi Amar says not a proof. Just because you can't do smicha, maybe you could use the sides of the animals. Why? Afilu teimet study matur. Maybe you can even say the sides are okay. Why? Because you know what? The head. Well, look at an animal, not at us. Look at an animal. Here's his back, here's his head. The head is in line with the back. The sides are not in line with the back, and that's the difference. He says, even if the sides are permitted, whether it's on the level with its back, should be treated like the back, and therefore there'll be a problem with that. So it's a machlokas between rabbis, is the head considered part of the back or not? Just because we say the head is prohibited does not necessarily mean the sides are prohibited. One rabbi said it did because it's not the main back. The other rabbi said, no, the head is prohibited because it's in line with the back. But things that are not in line with the back are not permitted. It's not a problem. And that took us right up to the Mishnah. So tomorrow we can start fresh with a Mishnah.